That's the question today, church. What are we waiting on? You gotta look at yourself and you gotta ask that. What are you waiting on? What's keeping you from experiencing a God who's so awesome, who's so wonderful, who can give you all these great things? What's keeping you from experiencing healing, spiritual healing, knowing that you have everlasting life? What's keeping you from experiencing a God who's there's never been a government nor institution or anything else this world has tried to establish that's been able to stop Him? And what's keeping you from experiencing that today? That's a question I want you guys to think about. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I feel so blessed to be able to stand up here, God, and I thank You for what's happening at 8 and 9:30. God, I pray that You continue to move, God, that You continue to be in this place and You continue to touch lives. May we always remember, God, that You are God alone, and we glorify You and we give You all our praise. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Welcome to you Sunday. My name is Chase Goff. I'm a senior at Orange Central High School. Go Dragons. But I'm so pumped to be here. I'm so excited. I've done two messages so far. This is my third one. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I told some of my friends, if they've been around me, that if you drove by me recently, then you probably think I'm weird because I preached to the dashboard so much that it's gotten saved. But I've been preparing for it because this message, I just wanted to be able to do it the best I could, to be able to bring it justice because it's so powerful and it can touch you. Whether or not you're a Christian or not, no matter where you're at in your walk, no matter where you're at in your life, every one of us needs some kind of healing. Every one of us need to be touched. And that's what I want you guys to understand from this today, that no matter where you're at, you still need to be healed. So like I said, today is You Sunday. We took our theme this year from it's called Dare You to Move. It's a Switchfoot song. You just heard it on the screen. And I remember hearing that song for the first time. And I'll never forget the chorus. It said, I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move like today never happened. Today never happened before. And I get this image of these people, of you, me, everyone. We get heartbroken. We get hurt. Something beats us down. We just get confused and we don't know what else to turn to. We just get broken. And I just picture God saying, I dare you to move. I dare you to get up. You know, a lot of times people dare me to do things, gets me juiced, gets me ready to go. And I can just see God saying, I dare you to get up. Get up from where you're at. And that's the message I want to preach to you guys today. You notice our shirts, unless you've been to seminary, you probably won't read this. It's not a yippee or whatever it looks like. That's not how you pronounce it. It's called a gay ray. A gay ray. Can y'all say it with me? A gay ray. One more time, church. A gay ray. This is a Greek word, and it means to get up, to move, to go on. We thought it was very appropriate for the theme. This is what our shirts would be, and that's what we wanted to preach, was get up and move. So that's why I want you guys, that's why I want to challenge you today. Here's the challenge, to get up. Get up from where you're at. When you've been broken, when you've been hurt, to get back up. Pick up where you left off. Pick up all this stuff. Because see, guys, even when we get hurt and we get down, when we get back up, that stuff's still there. It's still around. So pick up where you left off and walk towards the plan, towards the destiny, towards the power of the thing that God has for you. That's the challenge today, guys. We're going to be reading out of John. I love the book of John because it's different than the other three Gospels. It's different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When John was written, it's completely different for a couple different reasons. Number one, it was written later than the first three. So, therefore, you have opportunities. John had an opportunity. People had already heard the name of Jesus. And John's point of all his writing was to be able to tell people who Jesus really was, to show people who the Messiah really was. So that's one reason it's different. It's also different because John had this intimate relationship with Jesus. It was much different than the rest of them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they knew Jesus, they knew about Jesus, they knew what Jesus did. But John had this intimate relationship with Him. We can all relate to that. We all have a group of friends that, you know, are our friends, and we hang out with them and all that stuff. And then we have like two or three that we're real close with, and we can relate to them, that we tell them things that we wouldn't want others to know necessarily, and we relate to that. And that's how John was with Jesus. He was a close friend, and he saw Jesus do things that not many people did. He was there for the transfiguration when Jesus, you know, when God showed that Jesus was everything that He claimed to be. So John had this intimate relationship with Jesus. And it's also different because John takes us from when Jesus was baptized through his ministry, not from when he was born and his genealogy and all that stuff. So John's a whole different book, and I love the book of John. It's a great book. So we're going to read out of John chapter 5, and a lot of you might have heard this story, but it's so powerful, and it impacts me so much, and I just hope that I can do it justice. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 1. So the heading is the healing at the pool. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now this is important. Jesus liked to eat. Because in John, we always see that he's at a feast of the Jews. And every Jewish ceremony that there was, Jesus was at. You know, his first miracle was turning, in the book of John, was turning water to wine. I tease that there must have been a lot of drunks that followed Jesus around if he's turning water to wine, trying to get them to do it. But that was his first miracle in the book of John. And so we see him at all these Jewish events. And I think it's really neat because what John's trying to show us is this old way of thinking, this old ideology of when you had to see Jewish culture, if you committed this sin, there were certain things you had to sacrifice, and if you committed this sin, there's other things you had to sacrifice. And I think John's trying to show us that in all these Jewish events, it's being replaced by this new covenant called Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate Lamb of God, the ultimate ransom for all of our sins. And it's really cool how John does that, because he shows us this transformation of all these Jewish events and how it's transforming into Jesus mentality. So it's really cool to see that. Anyway, if we read on, it says, now they're in Jerusalem near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Now, Bethesda, let me give you a little background on Bethesda. Here's what it was. Bethesda was this place where all these sick people used to lay. No matter what was wrong with you, you used to lay around this pool at Bethesda. And legend was that an angel of the Lord would come down and would stir the waters. And when the angel of the Lord stirred the waters, then the first person that could run and jump in the pool was healed of whatever was wrong with them. And so you can only imagine that this little pool, and there's all these sick people around, and this is what Jesus walks up to. All right, so let's continue reading. It says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. You know, church, this really struck me, because the more I read it, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, church, we're blind. We're lame, we're paralyzed. You know, we're a hurting people. See, we're blind because all these things that don't matter, all this theology and all this stuff that doesn't matter, blinds us from seeing the big picture. I'm glad at Hillview, I'm blessed to be at Hillview, because I understand that the pastoral staff at Hillview, man, they may think differently, but ultimately their ultimate desire is to see people connected to the cross and resurrection. And that's why I'm so thankful to be at Hillview Heights Church. But see, guys, let me let you in on a secret. Jesus wasn't Catholic. He wasn't Episcopalian. He wasn't Methodist. He wasn't Pentecostal. He wasn't Baptist. Man, Jesus Christ was Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, Lord, Savior, Messiah. Jesus Christ was Lord. That's what Jesus was.
Amen.
It was nothing to do with how we view things. And a lot of times we get so wrapped up in if we're going through the rituals right and how we do this and how we do that. And guys, it doesn't matter. And a lot of times we get blinded by that. We're also lame because we become so comfortable where we're at that we're afraid to show people the true, mean face of God. You know, I think Jesus and God, it's my belief that they hate us being comfortable, because when we're comfortable, we can't show people what Jesus is all about. You know, some guys come to Jesus and they say, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, to love God and to love people. And you can't really love people if you're comfortable. See, a lot of times we're comfortable where we're at and we don't want to show people. We don't want to tell them about Jesus. It's hard for us. You know, we went to Nashville and we made this video. And I got to be honest with you, it was sort of difficult doing it in Nashville. But I didn't really know those people, so I wasn't going to see them again, so it wasn't that hard. But man, going to school every day, seeing people that you constantly see, sometimes it's really difficult to step out of your comfort zone and tell them about Jesus Christ. And guys, that's what we're called to do. That's what He tells us to do. He calls us to go and to spread the Word. So, church, don't become comfortable. Don't become lame. Get up and move. And that's the challenge, is get up and move. You know, the more we become comfortable, the worse we become. And another reason why I love Hillview Heights Church is because anything you want to get involved with, anything you're good at, there's a ministry for it. And I encourage you to get involved and get out and meet people and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, about what He did, about how He died and He was resurrected. So we become lame. We become uncomfortable. Comfortable is a scary state to be in. We've also become paralyzed, church, because a lot of times we do one or two things. One or two things get us. Like it comes up and it bites us and we just can't get over it. A lot of times we have these sins we struggle with and they keep us from experiencing God, from experiencing what He's all about. It's a scary, scary thing to think about. But I don't want to let one little insignificant thing ruin how I view my Lord and Savior. And a lot of times that's how we do it, guys, is that something will get us, something will sting us. The sin we struggle with, man, it happens to us and we just get down and down in the dumps about it. And we become paralyzed to the point that we can't move, we can't get up and go again. So church, when I read this, it becomes scary because I connected to it. I saw how the 21st century church is becoming blind, how they're becoming lame, or we're becoming paralyzed. And I think it's going to take a generation, and I hope it's my generation, as we stand up here on New Sunday, that's willing to stand up and be like, no, I don't. We're not blind, we're not lame, we're not paralyzed. And that's what I hope that each and every person will understand, is that that's a scary state to be in. It's scary to be comfortable, it's scary to think about all the stuff that distracts us. And I want to encourage you guys today is to drop all that stuff, and when things get you down, get back up and go. So here we go. We got the stage set, and it says, a great number of people used to lie here, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And one who had been here had been an invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine, guys, 38 years of not being able to walk, about laying beside this pool day after day after day, and never experiencing the healing? You know, guys, it's ironic to me because this guy was at a place of healing, yet he wasn't healed. And how many of us in here come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday at this place of healing? One of the core values of the church is to see people healed. How many of us come here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, but we still aren't healed? There's still something that is keeping us down. You know, I see that a lot. We come to this place of healing, yet we still aren't healed. This guy had been an invalid for 38 years. He's not been able to move for 38 years. To get up from this place he's at and move for 38 years. Now, I've been accused of having ADD, and there's truth in those accusations because I think a lot, I get distracted a lot, and there's a lot going on. And I couldn't imagine being sitting in one place doing one thing for 38 years. You would think that eventually he could get somebody to throw him in the pool. But he never does. So 38 years he's been sitting here. So Jesus walks up on this place, all these people around at this place of healing, and this one guy's been there for 38 years, and this is what he walks up to. And continue reading. Let's see what happens. It says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Does that seem like a weird question to anybody? Do you want to get well? If you've been an invalid for 38 years, of course you want to get well, I would think. I mean, I would want to be able to walk again. But he still asked the question, and Jesus, being as wise as he was, we have to look at it and say, why would he ask that question? The more I looked at it, here's what I've kind of come up with. Number one, man, maybe that guy, you know, maybe he didn't want to get well. Maybe he had lost all hope. And a lot of times that's what we do, church. We lose all hope in life and in ourselves. You know, after he had been sitting there for 38 years, and I'm sure he had a lot of time to think in 38 years that, you know, what am I living for? What's worth living for? Maybe he lost all hope. And a lot of times, that's how we are. We lose all hope in this world. Man, this world is bad. It's hard. But there's still a hope. His name is Jesus Christ. He loves each and every person, and he wants a relationship with each and every person. And I promise you, he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And that's, I want you guys to understand that today. That's the point. I want everyone to understand that he's always there. There's always hope because his name is Jesus, because he was crucified, because he was resurrected. There is always hope. No matter what situation you're in, man, Jesus knows what it's like to get betrayed. He knows what it's like to get hurt. He knows what it's like to get abused, man. Jesus knows all about that. He went through it. And the reason he went through it is so you can experience salvation, so you can experience healing. That's what it's about. So maybe the guy lost all hope. Maybe that's why Jesus asked the question. Maybe it was because the guy was scared of what he might have to do once he was healed. And let me tell you guys something. Living this Christian life, whoever said it was easy was lying. It's not easy. It's very difficult to get up every day and have to live up to these standards. Man, it'd be a lot easier to go out and do things on the weekend that I know is wrong. That'd be a lot easier sometimes because that's what everybody else is doing. That's what the world tells you. Guys, it's not. It's that ideology is scary to think. And you know, once this guy got healed, he realized that he could no longer just sit around at this pool and beg for money or whatever he had to do, that he'd have to get up, he'd have to get a job, he'd have to live a life that he had not known for 38 years. And that's probably scary, and a lot of us, I'm sure, get scared because we come up here and we want to accept Christ, we want to experience salvation, but guys, it's scary, but I promise you, as scary as it is, as crazy as it becomes sometimes, it's worth it because nothing can fulfill you, nothing can bring you comfort, nothing can give you hope like Jesus Christ. Nothing. And I realized that when I was 12 and I was saved and baptized, and ever since then my life has been full and abundant. And yes, guys, I still struggle. It's still hard, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because there's nothing like knowing that I have a Savior named Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So maybe that's why Jesus asked the guy the question. Maybe he was scared to get healed because of what would happen. You know why else I think he asked it? Because Jesus wants to know if all of us really do want to get healed, if we really want to experience it. And I promise you guys, once you think about that, it's difficult. It's a difficult question because I don't think a lot of us do, because we come here week after week, day after day, but we still aren't healed. We still are in need of healing. And so when you come here and you do that, you still have to ask yourself, do I want to really be healed? Is that what I really want? So that's what Jesus asked him. He says, do you want to get well? Now listen to what the guy says. This is important. He says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now this seems more ridiculous than the question. Here's why. Somebody asked me, after I hadn't been able to move for 38 years, they asked me, do you want to get better? I would hope that I would say yes, I would like to get cured. That's what I hope I would say. This guy doesn't say yes. He gives an excuse of why he can't get healed. And see, the guy missed the whole point. Because the healing was not in the pool of Bethesda. The healing was in Jesus Christ. It wasn't in the place of healing. It was in the healer. A lot of times we get so confused about that. Because let me tell you something, guys. Hillview Heights Church doesn't save anybody. Right. It's a place of healing, but it doesn't save anybody. Jesus Christ saves people. That's what... That's why we're able to come here week after week, because people do get healed, church. This is a place of healing, but Hillview doesn't heal people. The healer heals people. Jesus Christ heals people. All right, and so the guy had completely missed the point because he made an excuse of why he couldn't be healed. Now, all of us make excuses. We all realize that. I make excuses. I'll give you an example. I love to play football. Football is my sport. It's a great sport. But anyway, in football, my position that I play is fullback, and playing fullback means that I hit somebody every play. And that's what I like doing, so I don't complain about it. But every once in a while, we'd run a play, and I wouldn't hit anybody. And I would come to the sideline, and guess who was waiting for me? Coach Ayers. Yeah, that's a good thing to come to the sideline to, Coach Ayers. And he's over there, and he's got this look. You know the look he gives. It's just a stare down. And he says, Why didn't you hit that guy, whoever made the tackle? And I was like, Coach, that's not my man. I don't know whose that was, but that wasn't my man. Monday rolls around and we watched the film of the game, and guess what? That was my man. And so, but I was making an excuse of why I didn't hit the guy, why I didn't get the guy. And we're all guilty of making excuses. And that's what this guy was doing. He was making an excuse of why he couldn't get healed. Don't we do that a lot, church? Don't we make an excuse? Well, you know what? I'm just not good enough right now to get healed. You know what? None of us are good enough to get healed. That's why it's called grace, because none of us deserve it. None of us deserve that. That's why it's called grace. None of us will ever be good enough to earn it. We make excuses about, well, you know what? There's next week. Guys, there's not next week. That's a hard lesson I've learned this year, is that you're never guaranteed tomorrow. You're never guaranteed the next day. So don't walk out of this place today giving an excuse of why you're not healed. Walk out of this place today being healed, having experienced the healer. Because guys, I promise you, nothing you do in this life will ever be as fulfilling as the cross and resurrection, as experiencing God. So don't make excuses of why you can't heal, be healed. Look at the healer. Think about what he can do. Don't get caught up in the place of healing. Don't be like this guy and get consumed with Hillview Heights Church. Get consumed with Jesus Christ. And I promise you, church, I promise you, when you get consumed with Jesus Christ, your life will be so fulfilling and so wonderful and so awesome, you can't contain yourself. So let's look at what happens. Jesus has said, do you want to get well? The guy's made an excuse if he can't get in the pool. And let's listen to what Jesus says. It says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He says, agere, church. That's what he tells him, agere. Get up and walk. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Can you imagine? You know, we fall down, we get hurt, we stumble and stuff, and we have a guy that's, we have a Messiah, we have a Savior, that, and God that's saying, I dare you to move, church. I dare you to get back up. Get back up. Agere, church. Agere. That's what Jesus says to us. He says, get up from the state that you're in, from this life that beats you down. Pick up your mat, pick up what you've known forever, and walk towards the plan, towards the destiny that I have for you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And it's a great verse because, man, God's plans are so much better than your plans for you. God's plans for your life are 1,000 times better than your plans for your life. God has this, He has this set out of what, all these great things that you can do. But guys, before you can do any of it, you got to be healed. You got to be healed of whatever's keeping you down. And Jesus, man, he walks up on this guy and he says, get up, agere, pick up your mat, pick up everything you know, all this stuff, and walk with it. Walk towards me. Walk towards the plan. You saw in the video the guy walking towards Jesus, church. That's what we have to do. We have to continue walking towards God, towards Jesus. Church, I promise you, I guarantee you that when you do that, your life will be nothing but rewards. There'll be struggles, but it's nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Church, that's my challenge today, to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Let's see what happens after he does that. It says, see what happens. It says, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. At once he was healed, church. When you call upon the name of God, when you call upon the name of Jesus, when you say, God, forgive me. God, heal me. God, I need you. It's not one of these things that has to be processed. It's at then, right there, at that moment, you are saved. Once and for all, you are saved, guys. It happens instantly. Like this guy, once Jesus said, get up, he was instantly healed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It says at once he got up. At once he was instantly healed. He picked up his mat and he walked. Guys, when you call upon the name of God, you're instantly healed. All of us are in need of it. All of us struggle with things. All of us are unworthy of grace, but God offers it to us. He offers healing. He offers these things because he loves us. He loves each and every person. My challenge is this, guys. Don't walk out of this place not knowing that there is a healer who loves you, who cares for you, who wants an intimate relationship with you. Don't walk out of here not knowing that. Walk out of here realizing that when things get tough, we need to get up back up. Once we get up, we need to pick up where we left off because all that stuff is still there. But instead of going the direction we was going, walk towards the plan God has for you, towards the direction God has for you, church. It's an amazing life. I love seeing Mark Hale's little thing in the bulletin each week because he ends it every Sunday with, I can't believe I get to live this life. And I love that, church, because I feel the same way. I can't believe I get to live this life. It's grace. It's love. It's Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. Church, he knows where you've been at. He knows where we're at. His death was not a simple death. His death was a bloody, gruesome death. His death was not easy. It wasn't funny. It was gruesome. It was painful. He was completely broken. Guys, a lot of us are completely broken sometimes. We feel like there's nothing to move, nothing to live for, nothing to go on for. But what's cool, and Jesus has been there too, is that what's amazing is that any of us could have died. But the cool thing about Jesus is that He got back up. He got up out of the grave, got up from death. He defeated death and said, you know what? Death can't defeat me. Nothing can defeat me. Because I have a God who's so great and so powerful. Church, He knows what it's like to get back up. Because He's been there. My challenge today, guys, is to get up, pick up, and walk. To get up, pick up, and walk. That's what I want you to leave here with. Get up from the state you're in, pick up where you left off, and walk towards the plan God has for you. In a minute, this altar is going to be open. And week after week, this altar is open. That's what I love, because pastors always open up the altar. But we come here week after week and we still aren't healed. There's still some people that walk out of here not healed, church. Please don't leave today. Please don't leave today. Still being sick, still being ill. This altar is going to be open, church, but don't leave here. Come to the altar. There'll be pastors all around here who would love to just be able to pray with you guys. If you need Jesus Christ, man, that is first priority, because there is nothing like it. That a relationship with Jesus is the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. It's the ultimate. There's going to be pastors all up here, guys, and don't leave this place not knowing about God, not knowing, not ever experiencing Jesus. See, a lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people can tell you a lot of things about Jesus, but not everybody's experienced Him. And there's a difference, church. There's a difference in knowing Him and experiencing Him. And experiencing Him is experiencing grace. It's experiencing love. So in a minute when this altar is open, guys, I want you guys to come, to get up from where you're at. Take whatever you have that's with you, man. Lay it at the altar and walk out of here a brand new person. Changed, ready to impact the world, ready to transform the world. Go ahead and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for everything that's happened today, God. And You are such an amazing God. And the words we sing and the words we say can never glorify You enough. God, I just ask in this moment that You reveal to whoever needs it, God, how great You are, how awesome You are, God. And I just ask that You touch lives, God, that You lay it on their hearts so heavy that they can't walk out of here and not know You, God, that it's there and they can't deny it, Father. I just ask right now that you be with everyone in here, that You bless them, that they always remember to glorify You in everything, God. It's in Your name I pray, amen. Stand up with me, church. This altar's open. It's ready for people to be healed. The healer is here and He is ready. Now it's up to you. I've helped you out. You're standing up. Now what are you going to do? He wants to heal you, church. And in the name of God, come. Come and be healed. Come and experience the healer. Come and experience Jesus Christ. Come, church.